All right. So the title of the message, again, is Koinonia, one of the few Greek words I've memorized. Not a Greek scholar like some, but it's an incredible word, and it means fellowship, as probably you all know. And that's the topic that we're going to talk about tonight. Something that, our culture, our fast-paced culture, makes it difficult to do, spend time, not even just with each other, but also for us to spend time with the Lord. Our culture is so jam-packed with everything, to keep us busy and keep our minds focused on all these different things, that it's really difficult to take time and spend with the Lord and take time to spend with each other. One of the desires of my heart when the Lord, had us come back to see me and be planted, and I've said it over and over, but it's true, that Stacy and I want to really get to know people in a deeper way. We want to really get to know people here and, be close in Christ and not just know people on a superficial level. And there's a lot of people, and so obviously it takes time, but, we want to know people and not just know people by face or, hi and bye, And so God wants us to be that way. He actually, commands us to, but he also, desires us to. In our love for him and in our love for one another, we should choose to want to come together and make it a priority to meet with each other, spend time with other believers that are of the same spirit, that love the same God as you do. There's one now. Love that, brother. Hey, Bob. We should make it a priority. And tonight, as we go through Scripture, it will strengthen our resolve to want to do that, Because it's so for our benefit, Just spending time with believers, it's so encouraging. Stacy and I got to spend time with John and Diana the other night, and we just sat and talked. And, I was so edified. By the time we're done, we're talking, about life and the Lord. So I just walked away thinking, man, I love those people and love the Lord, and they love the Lord, and I can see his spirit in them. And the same thing, Bob, when we go into Mexico, and Greg and Francesca, they've been going with us, and the Bible study group that we have. It's just, getting to know people, in a deeper way is so, you walk away and you want to be more like Christ. You walk away and you're going, man, I see Christ in that person, and I see a gentle spirit in that person, and I see evangelistic, the evangelism in that person's heart. And, we're built up. We build each other up. And that's what the Scripture says, that, the whole body being knit together, will be built up in love until we come to completion, with Christ as the head. So that's God's desire. Just as a body grows, my little children out there, I was telling Stacy, we were walking in, they are just rapidly growing, It's like I come home, I'm there every day, sometimes very, very little because of work, but, come home and then come by the next day, and it's like he's matured a year or something. Comes in, hey, Dad, are you going to teach tonight? What are you studying? And they're just talking to me in a mature way, and I'm like blown away. Whoa, did you just come out of college or something? It's incredible. And they seem to, right, just growing up. And that is what the body of Christ is called to do. We are different parts of the body, and we are knit together as one, and we are to be built up, in our faith, and to be built up and knit together in love, the Scripture says, and mature together. And when the body is in unity like that, in the truth, I have to say, right? because you can unite all different denominations, but you're going to have a wacky looking body, you know. But in the truth, when we unite in the truth, what a powerful, you know, body that can be. And you look in Acts and we go, we know, we see the difference. You know, you look at how effective and powerful the church was. And you go, wow, how'd that happen? You know, Lord, we want that, you know, in our lives. And we do see fruit in our lives, but, you know, we can see more. We, you know, we can be much more. And we have to struggle and fight so much in this nation. Because as Jesus says, you know, he says that the church that was rich was blind and did not know that it was blind, wretched, you know, miserable. And so Jesus had called that church to repent. And the church, in a large percent of the American churches, are like that and don't know it, you know. The Lord has so much more for us and, you know, wants us to walk in a way that's pleasing to him and walk as he walked. Says he who knows the Lord, you know, he who abides in him will walk just as Jesus walked, right? I was, I'll tell you, I watched Ben-Hur last night. I, you know, had a crazy spur moment and I decided to, you know what, stay up late and watch a movie. You know, my wife fell asleep and I watched Ben-Hur and, you know, what such powerful, I thought, you know, it was a great movie. I love how they put Jesus in there. You know, even in the new, you know, modern one, they've added, you know, Jesus in there and how he throws himself over someone that's getting beaten, you know, and he's like, no, you know, God calls us to love each other, love our neighbor as ourselves. And, you know, he's stepping into people's lives and impacting people, and they're just taken back by this man, Jesus, you know. Awesome, awesome. And then at the end, how, you know, Ben was full of hate and he had taken revenge and he finally had his revenge and he still, you know, felt just empty. And Jesus, you know, he sees Jesus on the cross and he realizes, he sees the guy next to him, and Jesus said, you know, you're going to be with me in paradise today. And then he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he starts to think of all the things that he had done, the way he'd acted, falls on his knees and in just humility and repentance before the Lord. So such a powerful movie, but I can't remember why I started talking about that, to tell you the truth. But it was a great movie. All right, so let's jump into this. I want to explain what koinonia is. This is the definition. It's a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. It's fellowship, it's close association, communion, brotherhood. These are different words to help us understand what it means. Partnership, communion. You know, when we commune with Christ, it's not just like, hey, hi, and bye, oh, yeah, I remember what you've done, that's it. You know, we are spending time with the Lord. We're getting away. We're spending time. We're, you know, having a relationship with him, pouring out our heart to the Lord. And he ministers to us. His presence is with us. His spirit is in us. As we were singing today, and as the scripture says, the Holy Spirit is in us. And, you know, he has a relationship with us. And so as we spend that time with him, we're communing with him. And when we have a brother and sister, they have the same spirit in them. And, you know, you have the same spirit with each other. So not only do we want to be in fellowship with Christ, but we have a unity and a bond with brothers and sisters of all races and ages and colors that love Jesus as well, and that his spirit lives in them as well. And they have the same desires as you for others to be saved, to become holy as Christ is holy, you know, to be an example of him to the world, to, you know, live a life of humility and sacrifice. And, you know, so we have that bond with other believers because of Christ in us. And it's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, Satan tries to rob us of that unity, of that fellowship with the Lord and then with each other, right? He tries to rob us. So we're just like that little sheep that, you know, goes away from the pack, and the enemy preys on that sheep. Becomes, it's weak, it's, you know, it's not in a safe area at that point. You know, and that's why the scriptures warn us and charge us to fellowship with one another all the more as we see the day approaching, you know. So, it's brought about by the Holy Spirit. And let's look in Acts 2:41-42. I'll wait for a second. And this is awesome. Peter's opener sermon here. Verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." That's wonderful, you know. 3,000 souls were added to them. By what? Receiving his word. They heard the gospel. They heard about their own guilt, that they had crucified the Lord. And they heard the gospel, the good news of what the Lord had done, dying on the cross and raising from the dead. And they received that word. The scripture says to not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And it says to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And this day, you know, 3,000 people received that word into their hearts. I'm sure there was more, but out of that group, 3,000 responded in faith. That word went into their heart. They believed. They humbled themselves. And they had cried out, it says in the scripture, you know, what should we do to be saved? And, you know, and so look at the result in 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, right? Sounds like a beautiful, simple life, right? You know? But this is a very important passage. It's a key, you know? I wrote key next to it a long time ago. But look at the way they lived their lives, right? Look what was important to them. Look what they continued in steadfastly. These things are essential to our Christian walk. And these things should, we should desire when we turn to Christ, when the Holy Spirit enters us, right? God living in us, he's going to start to give us desires that God has for us, right? If he lives in us, we're going to change. If we've repented and we've received Christ in humility and we put our faith in him, then our life will change. It will start to change. Why? Because God is almighty. He's powerful. And he's able to transform your life if you let him in. You know, that's the thing. Many people, they go, "Okay, Lord, I'll let you in just to this little part right here." And God's like, "Okay, never mind. You're not going to give me your whole life." God says, "I want all of it, you know, or you're not worthy of me." He says, Jesus' words, right? "He who does not deny all that he has cannot be my disciple. He's not worthy of me," Jesus says. We have to give it all. That's the key. And when we surrender all, then he becomes the Lord of our life, which he should be. He's the one who made us. That's the way it was in the beginning. And we removed ourselves from under submission to him. So he calls us back to that. And when he is in us, he starts to transform us. He starts to change us. And the scripture talks about in Hebrews 6, verse 9, it talks about the things that accompany salvation, right? When a person gets saved, thank God, that's not it. You don't just join a club and then now you're a Christian and then you... That's it. You just continue your life. You know, your whole life, you become a new creation, right? The old passes away. The new is come, right? And now for your whole eternity has changed direction. You were headed for destruction, a child of wrath. And now Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were, an object of God's just anger, and now you are loved as though you were Christ, because He's in you and He gave us His righteousness. Right? So things completely change from black to white. Right? Absolutely change. And you won't be the same. Right? So He starts to produce things in our life. Jesus says, He talks about, the false prophets, but the principle applies, is you'll know them by their fruit. Right? A good tree, says, cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Bad tree, yeah. Bad tree can't bear good fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Doesn't mean we don't fail, because otherwise I'm a tore up tree, right? I fail all the time, right? And I need the Lord all the time, all the time. Lord, help me. Lord, help me be more like You. Lord, help change my character. Lord, help me be more patient. Lord, help me, in the way I think and the way I act and the way I treat people. Help me in my work ethic, Lord, so that I can better represent You. Lord, help me to pray more. Lord, help me to love Your word more. I'm sure this guy reads His word probably way more than me, and this and this and, on and on and on and on. Lord, help us. That should be the cry of our heart. Right? Because we'll continually need Him the rest of our life. Thankfully, He wants us to seek Him in that way. And He's willing. He's saying, here I am. Ask and you'll receive. Knock and it will be open. Right? Seek and you'll find. He wants us to seek His help. So that we can be who He wants us to be. So the things in our life that should start to come out. For one, we should love the Word of God. Doesn't mean that, in a busy life, it's easy to study it or read it. And there's not always times that we just, yay, I'd rather do this than watch a good movie. It's a battle. It's a battle. But when you hear Joe speaking truth, or Pastor Steve speaking truth, or somebody testifying or speaking the Word of God, when you hear the Word and you know it's the truth, your heart should rejoice. Yes, because the Spirit in you is like, that's my Word. I inspired someone to write that. And the Holy Spirit inspired that minister to speak that. And the Spirit's in you. And so when we hear the Word of God, our spirit should thrive and rejoice and say, yes, that's the truth. That's what I love. That's what I desire. That's what I need to be more like. Even if it's a hard truth, heart should say, yes, yes, that's the truth. Hard truth, but it's the truth. That's actually what I looked for in my wife. I was looking for, I'd meet a girl and she'd hear a hard truth and she'd be like, and totally reject it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, not that one, not that one, not that one. And I met Stacy and, we were watching a movie and about the life of, who was it? Martin Luther. And, they went through some hard things and they accepted him and his wife. And my wife, before we were married, she was like, she submitted to that truth. She acknowledged, that those hard truths were from the Lord. And I was like, praise the Lord. I think this might be getting on to something here. Now she's stuck. Woo! I love you, honey. Good wife. What a good wife. She loves the Lord. So there are things that accompany salvation. We come to the Lord, and there are things that you should start to see in somebody's life, in your own life, right? We should examine ourselves regularly, looking in the Word, in the mirror of God's Word, and saying, Lord, I don't line up right here. Lord, I just need to work on this. Lord, show me who I really am. Like King David said, Lord, in the Psalms, reveal my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, right? Examine me, Lord. So we should examine ourselves and see, you know, are these things in our life? You know, we should desire to know more of what God says. And even if it's a battle, you know, we keep fighting. Why? Because we want to learn God's word. We have to get it in our hearts. We have to get it in our minds, in our hearts. Teach it to our children. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 6:4-6, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. Jesus adds in with all your mind, you know, and it says, and you shall talk of my word. How does it go? You shall talk of my word when you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you rise up. I kind of messed it up a little bit, but continually, when you're in the house, when you're sitting down, when you're walking, and you shall teach it diligently to your children. Write it on the posts of your door. Write it on your gates. Why? To remind yourself. You know, get some scripture up on your walls. Remind yourself of the promises of God. Remind yourself of what God has told you to do. Commands that He's given us to live out. Right? Things that will remind us of the will of God. The things that God's heart cares about. You know, place those things in your life so that you see them and think of them and talk about them. Teaching our children diligently. Diligent means consistent, persistent attention to one's work. You're consistently giving attention to teaching the Word of God to your children. You know what I've noticed? In obeying God's Word by teaching my children, it is continuing to cause me to grow and feeding me. I'm reading them, you know, these children's Bibles from like the 50s, and then, you know, got one from the 70s, you know, and they're really cool. Old pictures and everything in it. Thanks, brother, for that Bible. And I'm reading it to them. You know, bit by bit, they love laying down and just hearing the word. Going over and over it, and I walk away edified. I walk away thinking about the Word. I walk away thinking about the creation account and what happened on the first day and what happened on the seventh day. And, you know, and I walk away from a child's Bible and I'm going, wow, thank you, Lord, for teaching me this and teaching me this, you know. It's amazing. God knows what He's doing. In the command to teach other people, it's causing us to continue to stay on edge. It's causing us to continue to grow in Him. As we do the things He's called us to do, we will continue to grow and flourish and be strong in the Spirit. So let's look in 42. They continued steadfast. They were diligent in the apostles' doctrine, right? The Word of God, right? The foundation, you know, the prophets, the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, and the New Testament, and the apostles' doctrine. You know, all of those things, we are to study steadfastly, continue in, right? If we start to drift from those things, you know, we're going to continue to be polluted by the world, you know, and yet the scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? In Romans 12, it says in Ephesians 4, 4:22-24, it says that you put off the old man, which is, you know, you put off the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, it's proactive, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We are called to walk out and be sanctified through the Word of God, the washing of God's Word. It transforms our minds. It helps us to think the way that Christ wants us to think, as opposed to the way we want to think. For example, we read Proverbs. Proverbs says, hey, if you a sharp word stirs up anger, but a soft word, you know, turns away wrath. So we get that in our hearts. We get that in our mind. And someone comes by and they're like, ah, they cut us off. I got cut off today. And I just felt anger like rush up. I wanted to like get behind him and follow him somewhere. You know, the old man there. And I'm like, okay, slow down. You know, nothing came out of my mouth. Thank the Lord. Right? But if it rose up. And yet what will happen if I act the way that my flesh wants to act when someone offends me and I lash out back? What's going to happen? The scripture tells me it's going to stir up wrath, right? It's going to stir up anger. It's going to cause a fight. It's going to cause trouble and destruction, right? It's not going to end well. But if someone comes up and you say, you know what? I apologize. That was very rude of me. And they're like, oh, it disarms their fury. And there are times, certain times that, things are different circumstance. But, try it. Obey God's word and see. He knows what he's talking about. So that's why we need to put the word of God in our hearts so that we can walk it out in our lives, right? Ray Comfort was saying once, some woman came up. She had written him a letter, and he never responded. Or he responded, but he said, I can't do what she wished. He was so busy, he couldn't go, travel all the way over there and, visit her or something that she wanted. And so she came up. She was like, she started yelling at him, this and this, you don't let me. And he said, man, that's a very nice sweater. Did you make it yourself? And she goes, oh, you like it? it totally changed the tune, changed the whole, our environment. It diffused the situation, is what it did, because he used the wisdom of God from the scriptures. So they continued steadfastly in what the apostles were teaching, which is what Christ was teaching, right? And that's what we have today. Thank God. People shed their blood so we can have this word, right? Shed their blood. Just read those, read those biographies. Read the stories of these men and women of God that have laid down their lives for us to have the word of God. So what else? They continue steadfastly in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, right? Breaking of bread is so important. Because, we are remembering what Jesus did. When we take communion, we're remembering what he did on the cross. And it should continue to cause us to be thankful and also to do what he did, which is lay our life down for other people because we love them, right? And just eating together with people. How great it is to invite each other over to eat and get to know each other over a meal. There's something, very spiritual even in that. Jesus sat and ate with his disciples regularly. The Last Supper, they reclined at the table. They had communion together and they enjoyed eating together. Praise the Lord. Right? They came on shore and he made breakfast. I think I say that every other sermon. I must like breakfast. And they continued in fellowship, right? And in prayers. Prayer is a lost weapon that we have. One of the most powerful weapons that the church has and a tool. And simply to be close to God, right? When we pray, we spend time with God. And we draw near to him, and he draws near to us, and he fills us with himself, and he answers our prayers. When we start to, sometimes you start to pray, and it's just like, oh, what do I say? Oh, Lord, please do this, please do that. But if you press through that, press through the flesh, and your heart starts to open up to the Lord, and you start to pour out, and you start to, all these things start to come to your mind. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray, and you start to remember this person, and then you start to grieve over their condition, and then you start to think about this person and how their life maybe is broken, and they need the Lord to intervene, and you think maybe this person's lost, or you're thinking of different things that the Lord cares about. And you start to pour your heart out with him, and then you're going, oh man, I need to pray like this all the time, right? So prayer is essential. Without it, we will be weak and powerless, like much of the church is in our nation. Powerless, weak. And fellowship. How essential. They continued in fellowship, right? So let's talk about that in detail. So These are things that accompany salvation, right? The Lord enters you, and these things, you should start to see some of these things in your life. You should start to see a desire for these things. And as we talk about fellowship tonight, God, when He lives in us, He should give us a love for one another, right? The Bible, you know, tells us to love the people in the world, but it specifically says in one place, remember to do good to all, especially to the household of faith. Especially to the household of faith, right? God wants us to do even more for other believers. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of beautiful, I think. He wants us to love each other in such a deep way, you know, that the world looks on and they say, you know, what do they have? What? How come they love each other in such a way? And how come they are reaching out and loving me in such a powerful way? When we love the way that Christ does, in a sacrificial way, there's no limit to the impact that can have, right? Because it doesn't mean that we don't speak, right? You ever heard that phrase, testify, 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 and when necessary, speak? We've all heard that. I disagree with that, right? Because I think we need to live it, like the scripture says, and we need to speak it, just like Jesus did. He spoke it everywhere. He lived it out, right? And God calls us to. The word preach, it actually means to proclaim loudly, right? I like that. Well, at least I got excited. To proclaim it loudly. But we have to back up what we're saying by the way that we live our life. And when we do, when we reach out and we love people, it validates the gospel message that we're speaking. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful, right? And we are called to love one another. The Lord, you know, when I became a Christian, He gave me a love for people. And I have to admit, if I'm off and I'm driving by Blessed Hope in the day, like, I have a craving to, like, drive in real quick and, like, run in and say hi to some Christians, you know? I want to see the people in the office. I want to go, you know, see Tony, see if anyone's here, say hi and give them a hug. Because I love believers. I want to spend time with believers and don't even have anything specific to say. Just want to fellowship and say hi and be encouraged. And sometimes I have to restrain myself because, you know, my wife's home with the kids and I gotta go. She'll get mad if I make all these detours, you know. But sometimes I give in when I have them, you know, a chance. And I gotta give my tithe. Let me go over there and say hi. You know, I need to tell them this is important, you know. It does take a minute to leave, though. You know, you talk for like half an hour. Blessed Hope. You know, you have a love for believers. Sometime, you know, in Mexico or even out here, but, you know, be walking past a church, and I don't know the people in there, but I hear Christians in there, whether they're Pentecostal or whether it's a Baptist church, and I want to go in there and say hi, and you know what I mean, and talk with them, because there's Christians in there, and I want to go encourage them or be encouraged, and because I love them. God has given us, you know, a love for one another. And we should desire and fight to spend time with each other in fellowship. Right? It edifies us, it edifies the other person, the other people, and it strengthens our faith. So that we can stand in this crooked and perverse generation. It is a crooked world, right? I say it over and over, but I, you know, work in construction sites and all sorts of different places. And I just, every day I feel defiled, you know, hearing the most filthy, vile stuff all day long, right? Everything is about, you know, something filthy, you know, filthy this, filthy that, and it's just all the time. And so you feel, you know, defiled. Lord, cleanse me. Help me, Lord. And he wants us to be light in those places, you know, but when we spend time with each other and we're of the same spirit and we love the same God, that strengthens us. It refreshes us in the presence of the Lord, and it refreshes us being with one another, right? Brings us joy, brings us, you know, comfort to spend time with one another. And if we start seeing ourselves, like I said before, you know, not spending any time in God's Word, not wanting to spend time with God in prayer, we don't want to be around other believers, you know, then that should be a huge red flag that something is wrong with our faith, right? Because if we are walking in the light, it says in 1 John, as He is in the light, it says we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we're in the light and our conscience is clean and we're right with God, then we, you know, want to walk in the light with our brothers and sisters. When there's something wrong, when there's sin in our life, or, you know, our conscience is defiled and we're starting to fall away, or, you know, listen to some strange doctrine the Scripture warns about, then our hearts start to not want to be around people that are walking with the Lord, because it's going to, you know, it's going to shine light on the things that are in our heart, right? And convict us and so on. So, but even in that time, even when we're failing, you know, or, you know, maybe we sinned or so on, we should run to the Lord, and we should want to be around other believers, right? People that love the Lord. And because we all fail at times, right? But we need each other, and we need the Lord, so that we can be built up, so that we can open ourselves to one another and be healed of things that are in our life. Excuse me. And be strengthened in the Lord. When we bring things to the light, it brings healing into our life, right? When we are open, when we share, you know, our struggles with, not just with anyone, you know, not with someone that's going to run off and tell the whole world or post it on Facebook, right? But people that are mature in the Lord, that love the Lord, you know, that you can confide in, you know, bring your struggles to the light so that we can pray for one another, so that those things can be brought to the light and lose their power, so that we can walk in a pleasing way to the Lord, in holiness and uprightness, set apart for the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." Right? It's one of the things that accompanies salvation. How do you know you've passed from death to life? How do you know that you have come out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light? How do you know? One of the signs, one of the fruits, one of the evidences is that you have a love for God's people. You have a love for God's people, right? If a person's best buddies, you know, we are to befriend the world, right? But if it's true, birds of a feather fly together, you know, if I used to party and do dope and all that, and I gravitated to people that did dope. They liked what I liked. They talked about what I talked. They could get the thing that I liked, you know, and so on. When you become a child of God, you should gravitate to children of God. You've been brought into the light, and you see somebody with light, and you go, "My brother, my sister," you know? And we have that bond. We have the unity in Christ through the Holy Spirit. You know you've passed from death to life because you have a love for the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. I love John and the book of 1 John, or the epistle. Very straightforward, which is how I like it, you know? Very straightforward. Hey, you know you're a Christian? You love the brethren. If you hate the brethren, you're in death. Right? He's very straightforward. You read the whole book, the whole five chapters. He's just, hey, if you live like this, you don't know the Lord. If you're, you know, if you know the Lord, you're going to start living like this, right? If you say you love him, you don't keep his commands, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. He's just very straightforward, and I love it because we need that, you know. We need to hear the truth. We should have a love for one another. The Holy Spirit will give that to you. And obviously, you know, at times we're going through things, we're busy, we struggle. It doesn't mean that we're always just, oh, I just love the Word, and I want to pray all the time, and I want to do ministry. We don't always feel like that. We get hit with life, and we go through valleys, and we go through trials. So it doesn't mean that if you don't see all these things in your life, that you're not a Christian, or that you're, you know, in a deep, grievous sin, right? But it means that the Holy Spirit's going to produce these things in our life. And, you know, I find myself, because I've never had all those perfectly. And I'm so far from perfect, except because I'm in Christ, and I'm perfect because of Him. But in myself, you know, I struggle all the time with, you know, wanting to be more like Him. And yet, I find myself going, Lord, help me to be in your word more. Lord, help me to pray more. Help me to intercede and give me a heart more for this or more for that, right? Help us. And we should have that desire even when we don't see all of these things. We should have a desire for those things, right? Help my wanna, right? Lord, help my wanna. I don't feel it. Lord, give it to me. Help me to be like you. Lord, I see you doing this and I don't do that. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me to throw myself on someone when he gets beat, you know, and take the hit for somebody else. Or Lord, help me to turn the cheek when, you know, someone strikes me down instead of, you know, acting the way that I used to. Or so we should continually have that desire to be, you know, those things and to grow in those things, right? So you know you're in the faith, you have a love for the brethren. We should have a love for each other. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And when we come together, now hear me out, when we come together with other believers, there's times for fun, there's times for, you know, watching sports, there's times for hobbies, you know, enjoying, just doing fun things. And the Lord gave us all things richly to enjoy, the scripture says. But it also says, you know, to live urgently. And it says, those who were happy, live as though they were not. Those who, you know, those who had even spouses, it says, to live as though you didn't, because the time is urgent. And in other words, the scripture is saying that because we live in such urgent times, because it is the last hour, because the world is very dark and the Lord is returning, because the gospel has gone forth and we are commanded to be ambassadors of Christ, because of all of those things, we should choose to limit the time that we set aside for relaxing and enjoying, and we should become laborers and soldiers in the army of God. That's His desire. Why? Not just because He wants to work us like a horse. He cares about those around us, and He wants to use you and me. You know, if we are mature enough to be in tune with His voice, you know, to be in, have the same heartbeat that He has, right? And He's calling us to labor with Him. He's calling us to be a soldier that doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life so He can please Him who enlisted him as a soldier. He's calling us to be focused like a runner who is disciplined in their life. They watch what they eat. Does that mean they don't go to Carl's Jr. all the time and eat a huge burger? Because He's got to run that race, and it's going to, you know, affect, you know, his body in a way that he can't run that race properly if he is living in different frivolous ways. And so he sets aside things that he is allowed to have for the sake of the goal that is set before him. And that's what Christ did. He had a goal. He was set like flint to go to the cross. I love this because the scripture says that he says face like flint. What happens to flint when you hit it? It sparks. And what happened when Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. They're going to do this to me, that to me. And Peter, big mouth, he spoke up and he's like, never, Lord, you know, you're not going to go and this and that. And what did he get? He got sparks from Jesus, right? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man, right? So we have, if our mind is constantly on the things in the world, and we are thinking of the same things the world thinks about, and we're living for the same things that the world lives for, where is that coming from? Get behind me, Satan, right? Jesus was focused on the cross. He was focused on his mission, and he says, follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me to the cross. Follow me to the cross. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And so we limit ourselves and the things that he has freely given us so that we can be vessels that can be used in his service, right? And we'll have all eternity to enjoy rest, that seventh day that he's preparing, the home that he's preparing for us, right? Can't wait. Who knows what it's going to be like. It's going to be amazing, though. You know, if you think, even in a fallen world, today I was at, you know, working at a millionaire's house, and you know, the house is all, it's all in stick still. It's all, you know, being remodeled. So, you know, all the window, there's no sliding doors yet. It's all just wood. And I was up on the deck down in the Pacific Palisades, and I'm working away, and just, I got an ocean view. And the wind is just blowing on me. And I felt like sitting down, you know, and just enjoying this millionaire's view, you know. But the Lord blesses us, you know, even during work. If we think about it, you know. And I stop it. It's just like blows me away how beautiful it was, what God has made. You know, the trees and the, just the shoreline and, you know, way back on the hill, you're just overlooking everything. And the air that he is created, and the sensors that he's given us to enjoy those things. You know, what an amazing, amazing God. And he deserves, you know, all that we can offer him. So make every effort to spend time. Reading my notes here. Make every effort to spend time with other believers that love God, right? That truly love him and think of him. And even when we're together, we have fun, we do things, but there should always be times, the most important things is what we're talking about. You know, Christ should always be in the middle of it. We should never take a vacation from Christ. We should never, right? There's never a time, I'm done preaching, and that you walk out the door and there's somebody in need. Sorry, I'm off the clock. You know, wait a second, you're off the clock. You know, go help that person, right? They're in need. We are never off the clock. The Lord showed me that about my own kids. Do you know that? I think I said it from the pulpit before, but I'll tell you again. They were, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, probably a year ago, they would, you know, cry in the middle of the night, and I wake up and I feel angry and I'm like, go rebuke them or something, you know? Yeah, I know, I'm a mean guy. You know, the Lord's helping me. But, you know, and I feel frustrated, and the Lord showed me one day why I felt frustrated, because I felt like, hey, this is my time off. And you're interrupting my time. And God's like, you don't have a time off. You know, you're on the clock continually. You know, those are my children. And when they need me, I need to go and be there for them. And, you know, time, you look at the life of Jesus, who he commands us to follow in his footsteps. When he was ministering to people, He was doing things that even his own mother said, "You're out of your mind." His own brothers at the time, you know, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? There's people flooded around the house where you are. You've been up like for days and you haven't eaten anything, and you're casting demons out of everyone, and you're healing everyone, and you haven't even taken time for yourself to sleep or eat or mourn over John being beheaded or any of these things. You're crazy. And he says, "Hey, I have food to eat that you don't know about. I have work to finish that God has given me." Right? That is the food. That is the thing that should fuel our lives. It's not the things in this world, right? But it's the things of God should fuel our life. As we seek His Word, and as we spend time with each other, and as we spend time in prayer, and we're in tune with God's Spirit and the things that He cares about, it continues to direct us and lead us and help us to live our life the way that He wants. So we walk by someone and we don't even think about him because we're thinking about a taco, or we're thinking about an ice cream cone, or, you know, thinking about, complaining, you know, about my job or whatever it might be. And that there's someone dying on the side, or there's somebody that needs the gospel, or there's, you know, or my own family or whoever, you know, the Lord wants us to walk as He walked and be in tune with Him, so that we can live the way that He lived. And that should be the food that we eat. And so make every effort. And when we come together, edify each other, build each other up, pray for one another, right? So that when you walk away, you're thinking all the more about the Word of God. And you know what? When I fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and I said it earlier and I'm just repeating it, I am so edified because they, you know, the Lord is doing things in their life that it move me, impact me. When I see, you know, the love that they have, or the grace that they have, or the, you know, the way that the Spirit is bearing fruit in their life, and I see that and I'm moved by it, and I'm drawn to want to be more like that, right? When I'm with Steve and I see how great he is with kids, and he, you know, like, he genuinely loves my kids. Like, he sees them and he's like, "Oh," he's taking pictures of them, and, you know, he's giving them little toys, and he's just always, he like really like, he's like, "Hey, look at this picture. Look at this picture." He tricked my kid. He goes, look at this picture of you. And so he comes and looks, and he takes a snapshot of him when he was looking at it, right? You know? So, and I, you know, when I see that and I'm around that, and it shows me, hey, the love that I should have for my children, right? And I want to be more like that, you know, and so on with each brother and sister, right? The Lord's given us different gifts. We're all different parts of the body, and He's doing a work in each of us. We have different strengths. And when we spend time with one another, we are built up and edified in the faith. And not only should we do it just because it's a good thing, this is so, so important. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. As I was reading this, you know, it's always good to read before and to read after, you know, to back up. You don't just, you know, just read a verse, but read the context and what it's talking about. What, you know, what were they just talking about in Hebrews before the verse that I was just reading? So you back up and you look and go, "Oh, okay, he was just on a roll. He was talking about, you know, the day of judgment and so on and so on, and standing in the faith, not falling away." And then he talks about fellowship. And then he continues to talk about not falling away from the faith, right? So you're seeing what the topic is about and why it's so important, as we will look right now. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." When you put your faith in Christ, hold fast to that confession until death. Hold fast. Why? Jesus is faithful. He's going to stand with you until you enter His kingdom. He's there. He's not going anywhere. When nobody, you know, stood with Paul, he said the Lord stood with him. When he was on the boat, you know, and everyone was about to drown, the Lord stood by, you know, and he sent an angel. He stood next to him the night before and encouraged him. You know, so when Stephen was stoned to death, the Lord stood, right, to honor him and receive him into the kingdom. He is faithful to us, right? So we should be faithful and hold the confession of our faith. Then he goes on, and let us consider one another in order to what? Stimulate or stir up love and good works. So we should think of one another. And what's the purpose? We should consider, let me think of this person. I need to spend time with it. I need to get to know this person better. I need to reach out to that person. Oh, you know what? I remember this person is in need. There's a lot of people here. And it's hard to always be there, you know, for everyone's needs all the same. It's just sometimes you forget. And, you know, there's so many needs and there's so many people. But let us consider one another, so that we can stir each other up unto love and good works. Stirring each other up. When we are in fellowship with one another, we stir up each other to love more, to love the Lord more. When we see somebody and they have a burning love for Jesus, doesn't it make you think of the Lord? And it makes you, want to love the Lord more. And you're just, you know, building each other up in the faith. And unto good works, right? We should be full of good works. Our life should just be full of good works, right? Blessing people. I'm not going to say it. I repeat myself like over and over and over. But so what? You know, we need to hear it. Peter said to hear it over and over is not tedious. It's beneficial. So, but we should do all the good we can to all the people we can, right? As much as we ever can, John Wesley said. So consider one another. We should be considerate of each other, right? It's natural in the flesh to be considerate of ourselves, right? It really is. It's natural to how am I doing today? What do I need? There was a believer I worked with in ministry, and we put down the youth, the troubled youth, you know, we were with them all day long and so on. And we put the kids down, the teenagers, they go to bed, and a brother, he comes up and he said, "Flesh, what would you like?" You know? So he wanted to go eat something from the fridge, you know, but he was joking around. But it's easy for us, you know. Flesh, what would you like? We consider ourselves. Consider each other. The scripture says do it above your own self. That's how we are called to love each other and think of one another above yourself. Right? If we would all do that, how blessed would we be as a church? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Right? So, previous, he's talking about, you know, holding fast to our faith, and he says, consider, you know, others, so that we can stir each other up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Right, and in our nation, it's very easy to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's easy because our lives are so jam-packed with stuff, right? They really are. And we have to make it a priority to obey God in this because he knows what we need. It's not just so we can feel good. It's so we don't fall away from Christ, right? So that we will be continue built up in the faith and strengthened in our faith, because we live in a world that's tempting us all the time. Hey, smoke this. Hey, drink this. Hey, look at that. Hey, she's got no clothes. Hey, you know, look at this porn. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You feel bad. Why don't you go smoke dope? And when we spend time with each other continually, we're continually strengthened and built up in the faith, so that we can resist those things. We keep each other accountable, right? We need that accountability. It helps us to stand. And the Lord knows what we need. And that's why he's saying, obey him. Because it's for our good. I was talking to a guy that I work with. And, you know, we were talking about God's commands. And I was saying, you know, if you think logically about it, to this guy, I said, the commands are for our good. I said, if you're married, do you want your wife to sleep around on you with everyone? He's like, no. Neither does God. That's why he says, don't commit adultery, right? Isn't that a good command? Yeah, you know. So, well, do you want your wife to lie to you and deceive you? No, neither does God. That's why he says, don't bear false witness against each other. I said, isn't that great? Isn't it logical if you think about it? You know, starts thinking about it. It's reasonable if we stop and think. God has given us commands, and this is God's charge to us. Hey, you know, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It doesn't mean it always has to be in the building, right? But seeking to be in fellowship with one another. There's small groups or, you know, meeting with a brother, you know, each week for prayer. There's so many you know, different ways that you can fellowship with one another, but being strengthened in the faith, gathering together to pray about issues, pray about people that are sick in the church, you know, doing ministry or outreaches or, you know, whatever it might be, you're built up in the faith and strengthened so that you don't fall. Hey, Lenny, what time am I supposed to end? Oh, nice. Okay, sorry. Not forsaking ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I talked about this before, but we see that there's a day approaching. It's a day when God will judge the world in righteousness. That day is coming, and you know what? We need to walk uprightly and exhort one another so that we stand firm in the faith. You know, the thing that breaks my heart, I think, the most is when I see brothers and sisters that I know, you know, from around the country or from here, fall away. Or when you can see their heart start to stray into maybe some false teaching. And the Bible warns about it. It's not just the doctrine of blessed hope. Blessed hope is just a place where we hear the word of God. And the more scripture and word, which that's what you're going to hear, because, you know, Joe is like a Gatling gun. He says, ka, 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 ka. And it's word, 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 word. You know, so it's not just, he's not just giving you his opinions all day. He's not just like making all these, you know, stories and so on that make you feel good and, you know, have a biblical message in it. He is giving the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. And so if we have issues with that, we have to go, do I have an issue with God's word? Or do I have an issue, you know, there's something wrong in my heart, right? We should examine those things. But we need Jesus. Okay, let's keep going. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day is coming, and we need to be built up in the faith so that we will stand. Like I was saying, it breaks my heart when I see people falling away. And, you know, when you reach out to them or you write them letters or, you know, even in my own family and across the country and, you know, people that once, you know, did so much ministry and stood up for truth and defended truth, even to, you know, suffering because of it. And then you go out and visit and their heart has gone astray and they're starting to listen to people like Rob Bell, who, you know, talks about there's not even a hell. And now he's just full blown. You see, you know, what the man, he's talking to Oprah and he's saying that Christians are going to accept homosexuality now. So far from the truth. And yet, so you see people that you love And their hearts are going astray. And that is one of the hardest things, I think, to see. And you, even especially if you reason and you reason and you're reasoning in the truth, and their ears are becoming closed and hardened to those things. Why? It's heartbreaking. God wants us to stand firm in the truth. And as we walk in the light and we walk in fellowship and we build each other up in the faith, we will stand. The Lord knows what we need. And I want to read one more verse here, because I just want you to show the context of where this author is going. Verse 26, for if we sin, this is the next verse about after fellowship, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. All right. He goes on in 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All right. That's not my opinion. Many churches won't even speak a verse like that. Why? Because it offends people's ears. It offends their, oh my goodness, how harsh and, judgmental and fiery. And, this is the Word of God. And we have to be faithful. God warns us for a reason. And he's right before he's talking about fellowship. You got to remain in fellowship so you can build each other up. Why? Because there is a day approaching when God will judge the world. And if you were in Christ and you choose to fall away and you go back into sin, he says there remains nothing left except a fearful expectation of the fiery wrath of the living God. All right? His just judgment upon sin. And so God is saying, hey, these are the things that you need to stand strong in the Lord. You need the body of Christ. So do these things. Build each other up. Pray for one another. Also, maybe you might be standing strong, but when you're spending time with your brothers and your sisters, you know what else is happening is you're seeing their needs. And so then your heart is moved to go and intercede for your brother or your sister. Lord, please strengthen my brother or my sister in this area. Please help them overcome this, or help them to stand the way that you want them to. So it helps us to see the need, and it stirs us up to love to one another, for one another. A couple more verses. Hebrews 3:12-14. Another warning. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So what's the context where he's talking about? He's talking about people who have departed from the living God. And he's warning so that our heart does not, become a heart of unbelief and we fall away from the Lord. Right? That's the context. 13. But what? Exhorting one another daily. Do we want to be a strong and thriving church? We need to walk in these things daily. The body of Christ, that's the church that Jesus left. And they were fruitful. People were added to their number every day, the scripture says in Acts. Every day people were coming to the Lord, being added to the church. I would love to see that. I know we live in a hardened time. We live in a time where people's ears are, they don't want to hear truth. They're turning their ear away from the truth. But still, there's people, that I want to see come to the Lord. And I know you do too. And as we walk the way that God wants us to in unity, in Christ, the church can be a powerful vessel that can be impact this world and be a light to others, right? I mean, light is so much greater than darkness, right? It's not the other way around. When there's darkness, you turn on light and it flees. Darkness flees, right? So we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, right? We're the light. You put a light on a hill, it's going to expel that darkness. That darkness is going to flee. And if Christ is in us and burning in our lives and in the church, and we have one mind and one spirit, like the scripture says in Acts, then the darkness is going to flee. Then we're going to have make a huge impact in the world around us, right? Amen. Okay, almost there. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Today. So we should start all the more today, right? Today. I like that. Well, it's called today, right now. We should start walking in this all the more. And if you are, praise the Lord. Let's do it all the more, right? All the more as we see the day approaching, as we read in Hebrews 10. All the more as we see the day approaching. We need fellowship more and more. Lest any of you, what? Be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, so sandwiched in the middle of this warning to not fall away, he's saying to fellowship and exhort one another, build each other up every day so that we don't get a hard heart. The heart doesn't become hard through what? The deceitfulness of sin. It's very deceiving. False doctrine is deceiving. Temptation is deceiving. That's why, you know, you go fishing, you put a deceiving little thing on the end of that hook, right? It's got a hook, but it doesn't look like it. It looks, you know, real, ooh, shiny. There goes Nemo, and ooh, what's that, you know? And then you bite, and you're hooked, right? And it's over. And that's how it is, right? Sin is deceiving. And even Satan comes as an angel of light and he presents things all around us that are deceiving. Right? And our hearts, if we receive those things, they start to become hard. We start to not allow truth in. We start to not love the way that we should and not spend time with God and not seek Him in His Word. And our hearts become hard. And sometime to the point of no return, where God gives a person over to a debased mind, where they will go do the things that they want to do, and they'll pay the penalty for it, right? But we desperately don't want that. We want our hearts to be tender toward God, circumcised, strengthening each other in love, so that we can all stand. You know, Paul's desire, you know, he said, I suffered here, I suffered there, I suffered here, I suffered, I was beat, I was hit with sticks, I was stoned, I was shipwrecked. And then he goes, and on top of all that, my daily concern for the church of God, right? On top of all that, on top of all the suffering that he went through, he was burdened with a concern for God's children. Right, I say it over and over. Good, let it get in there. His heart didn't go up and down over the world, over things, over stuff, over scores, over anything. His heart went up and down when he was earnest. How's the church doing in Thessalonica? Oh, how's the church doing in Corinth? How is it? How are God's people doing? He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have Facebook. I couldn't bear it anymore. I was sitting in prison. I had Timothy as the only person I had to encourage me, but I couldn't stand not knowing how the church was doing. So I told Timothy, leave me and go find out how the church is doing. Bring me a report. Oh, I hope that they're doing well. I hope that they're standing in their faith. I know they're suffering. I know they're being tormented. I know they're being tortured for their faith. They're suffering for their faith. I need to know if they're standing. That was Paul's heart. That's what his heart went like this over. Daily concern for God's people. And that is what our heart should be. Why? Thank you. That is what Jesus' heart is. Right? It's for you. And thank God it is. Thank God Jesus' heart is for us. It burns for us more than anything in the universe. Right? Beautiful Jesus. We got one verse and we got 1 minute. 2 verses. 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast or hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Right? If we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Why do we need fellowship? So we will stand fast in this crooked world until the end. And the last verse I want to throw out there is John 13:35. And it says, they will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Right? The world is looking on. The world is looking at our lives. And when they see the body of Christ has a deep love for them, but a deep love for one another, and how we serve each other, sacrifice for each other, how we care for one another as a body and as a family, that will let them know who we follow. And it will draw them. They want that. They need that. The world needs, they need love, right? Really do. We need to give it to them, right? Amen. Can I end in prayer? Father, thank you for tonight. We just praise you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We just pray that the scriptures sink into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Lord, even though the path is difficult, Lord, we know that the path to life is narrow, it's difficult. There's not many people on it. Most of the people are on the other path, Lord. Help us to do what is right, even when it's hard. Help us to follow even your hard truths, Lord, because you know what you're talking about, and you know what we need, Lord. Give us a deep love for one another, a sincere love, Lord, an unconditional love and a sincere love for one another, that we will build each other up in the faith all the more, Lord, and that we will stir each other up, Lord, to produce fruit and to walk in love and to do good works, Lord, in your name.